Hello again there, folks. Soylent Green is one of those movies which is kind of obscure, but is you see people mentioning it quite a lot these days. It pops up again and again in the discourse. If I'm having a few beers in the pub and you're talking about what's going on in the world, it'll often pop up. But I often find that people, they kind of know something about it, but they're not that familiar with it. And so I gave it a watch recently, and I thought, well, what is it? What's going on with Soylent Green? Even the name conjures up a kind of an unease. It's a cult sci-fi dystopian classic from 1973, based on a book called Make Room, Make Room by sci-fi author Harry Harrison. And Soylent Green shows the world in 2022 as they saw it from 1973, as being pretty much it's like a depiction of hell. As we see in the opening montage, the environment has collapsed and global warming is rife. The natural world is all but destroyed, except a few outposts, we later learn, for the super rich oligarchs. But mainly, the biggest problem they have is overpopulation. And in New York, it's 40 million. And we're led to believe that the rest of humanity around the world are sort of locked into giant mega cities while the world just dies around them. 1970s Hollywood seems to be dominated by doom and gloom, actually, especially the earlier part of the decade before Star Wars and Jaws arrived to fire up the box office and, in general, just lighten things up. Soylent Green certainly has more in common with the earlier phase, but it has to be said, it isn't as classy or well made as something like The French Connection. And without a slightly past his best Charlton Heston chewing up the 70s decor in what's supposed to be 2022, the movie would have sunk without a trace, I think. But like the Joker recently, this gloomy era of Hollywood seems to be becoming of a interest to people now. And so Soylent Green also seems to be attracting attention. For some reason, in current year clown world, people are starting to look back at the doom and misery of 70s Hollywood, and they're finding something there. So, what is Soylent Green saying? Well, the plot of Soylent Green centers on an oligarch who seems to be arranging for his own murder, or at least he doesn't care that much when an assassin arrives to kill him. Charlton Heston plays the cop who has to wander the squalor and slums of New York with a population of 40 million people looking for answers. A nice touch to the outside scenes is that there's a sort of green mist covering the lens of the camera, so the city and the world seems even sicker than what you first think. And Heston lives with Edward G. Robinson in a tiny flat, and he has to step over dead bodies and people sleeping on the stairs just to get out. You can almost smell the rot and the funk of it all. And the world itself seems to have a central government, but it's also obviously a global oligarchy, and the largest, or at least one of the largest industries, is called Soylent Industries. Normal foods like strawberries, bread, and butter are luxury items for the sweating masses because there's no longer any arable farmland. Soylent's business model centers on feeding the seething human biomass with various products, the most famous being Soylent Green, and there's also two other ones, Soylent Red and Soylent Blue or something. But Soylent Green is the main one, which is supposed to be condensed blocks of plankton taken from the sea. But it isn't. It's no spoiler. This is really famous. It's actually processed humans who've been rendered down into biscuit-type products. And the CEO at Soylent was having second thoughts and feeling guilty about it all, and so he was bumped off, and he didn't even mind being bumped off because he felt so bad. And the stark reality is, though, that there simply isn't any other way to feed the masses. As Heston explains when he unravels the mystery, the planet is pretty much dead. Even the plankton have been fished out. Even the human mass has even managed to eat all of the plankton in the sea. So you get this impression that humans are just this virus on the planet. Humanity will either starve or it'll have to get used to consuming the last food source that exists in abundance, and that's themselves. I mean, the key scene for me though is when Edward Gene Robinson volunteers for euthanasia. You're allowed 20 minutes of nature, spiritualism, and bliss before death actually arrives. I think it's through an injection or through gas. And the music of Grieg and visions of mountains and lakes are a luxury, a slither of idealism and genuine humanity before the lights of the clinic come back on and your corpse is wheeled out to be processed like any other lump of waste that needs recycling. Religion, it's bleak, like it's religion is touched upon a few times, but a priest is shot in the face while offering confession, and a woman remarks that God has left the world in an important scene when she hands over the secrets to Edward G. Robinson. And the final confrontation takes place in the ruins of the church. So there's this kind of symbolism there that in this world, religion, Christianity at least, has completely gone from the equation entirely. And this raises an interesting question. While watch Soylent Green, while I was watching it, I wondered why these characters actually cared that humans were being given a peaceful death, then turned into high-fiber biscuits to nourish the masses. It's not like they were munching on meat and sinew or drinking the blood of humans. It was just wafers. But it is disgusting. But why? In this world, all higher forms of spiritualism have been killed off. And it's here I think that resonates with people today in the age of consumerism and globalism. Why is it that so many people express disgust at eating bugs when we've already normalized and accepted killing babies in the womb? Now, of course, we soften it up. We talk about Planned Parenthood and women's rights. But is that really any different from calling wafers made out of people budget nutrition? Dystopian movies from the 70s and 80s are interesting because they often got the material problems correct, over population and technology, and even rampant corporatism. But like in Soylent Green, the problem is that they thought the cultural values and traditions would remain largely intact in the future, even when there was nothing left to support them. When religion was gone and man's connection to the natural world was a distant memory, something to be idealized and watched on a screen before you die. The surprise of Soylent Green is not so much that people eat people, but that Soylent Industries even had to keep it a secret. So was Soylent Green some sort of warning or prophecy, an inside joke by the globalists who made the movie and dominate the world today? Well, I'll leave that to my viewers to decide, but it is worth noting that a food company actually called Soylent exists in the real world and already have a whole range of foods. The company named itself after the movie on purpose, and according to Wikipedia, in January 2015, Soylent received $20 million in Series A round funding led by venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz. You have to take your hat off to the postmodern chutzpah here. He has a brand of food with no discernible connection to the natural world at all. And before you get suspicious, we've called it the exact name that you have rattling around in your mind when you associate the unnatural products to be consumed, food sources like that. So they've neutralized it. And when they roll out the new bug-based butter, don't worry too much, because on the side of the tub it will say "sourced from ethical and non-mammalian life." You will enjoy the bugs, it seems, because our market and design experts are a little bit more sophisticated than the ones they had in Soylent Green. I'll catch you later, folks.